October 13th, 2013, morning service. Today we are going to read from 1 Timothy 1st chapter, verse 8. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels and ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine. There are many mentions of the law in the Old Testament, and if you think the New Testament has nothing to do with the law, it is a mistake. The New Testament law was given from the Lord to love your God with all your heart and love your neighbors as you love yourself. So this is the law in the New Testament. And as the verse 9 says, the law is made not for the righteous. The law is for the lawbreakers, sinners, and murderers. For example, the traffic law is for the drivers. If you don't drive and don't even have a driver's license, and you only ride a bicycle, this law does not apply to you. But bicycle regulations nowadays also changing too, saying that if you ride in a way that harms pedestrians, you will be fined for 20,000 yen or something like that. But the traffic law is for the drivers. Like you cannot park within X meters from the crossing. I don't remember exactly how many meters, but I do remember getting my driver's license, but I cannot remember the exact number. But when they fine you for the violation of the traffic law, the numbers like this distance from the crossing becomes very relevant. Same thing with the law in the Bible. If you lead sinful and unholy life, the law takes effect. But if you have a righteous life, you don't have to worry about it. Not sure if this is a good example, but at my previous workplace, we had a female president, and she lent some money to a man, and he did not pay her back. He had no plan to pay her back, even when he originally borrowed money. So when she was expecting a phone call on his supposed payday, she would warn us about the call, and when I pick up the phone and talk to him, he did sound like he had a wicked life. According to her, he would always call on the day that he had promised to pay and kept telling her and kept renegotiating to extend the term. And it sounded like he knew some laws that would work for him when he failed to come up with the money. We have no idea what kind of laws and regulations are there when it comes to that kind of financial transactions because we have nothing to do with such fraudulence, lending and borrowing. But when you have simple life, those laws become very relevant to you. So it is better to lead a life that does not become a subject for judgment by the law. It says the law is those who murder mother and father. I know you don't kill people, but the Bible often has more than one meaning, saying anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. So even if you don't murder, be mindful about the whole meaning of the law. It also says that for slave traders and liars and perjurers and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine. Those who do not know the law is not the subject here, since they don't know the law. This is a warning for Christians who know the law but have made a choice to live contrary to the law. So if we, the Christians, live a righteous life, the law has no effect. But if we go against it, the law takes effect, and that will bring troubles into our lives since Word of God is living. Again, I repeat this subject all the time, and those who preach the theory of left behind and or people being lifted up before the great tribulations, they will be subject for this kind of judgment by the law. Because let's look at Zechariah chapter 5 from verse 1. I looked again, and there before me was a flying scroll. He asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a flying scroll. 20 cubits long and 10 cubits wide. And he said to me, This is the curse that is going out over the whole land, for according to what it says on one side, every thief will be banished, and according to what it says on the other, everyone who swears falsely will be banished. The Lord Almighty declares, I will send it out, and it will enter the house of the thief, and the house of anyone who swears falsely by my name. It will remain in that house and destroy it completely, both its timbers and its stones. There are many metaphors in those verses, but I do believe here the Bible is talking about the church that is working against God's will. The scroll here is the Bible, and the law, since Bible and the law, since that was how the writing was done at that time, and the scroll, the law, becomes the curse that is going out over the whole land. It also says every thief will be banished. Here the thief could be someone who steals a piece of chocolate, but it could also mean somebody who steals God's word and make it into their own, like people who are saying God is love and do not preach anything else. Like Catholic Pope saying God is love and he does not want anyone to suffer, so there is no hell. They said the hell is only in our mind. And this is stealing God's word. Such acts will invite punishment. And it says in the verse here, it will remain in the house and destroy it completely, both its timbers and its stones. So it will cause the falling of the house, like Catholicism going down with scandals and many other troubles. And there was a Christian organization in Japan which denied Christ during the World War II. And after the war, when they gathered again, they had nothing but troubles. Just like the Bible says, God remained in their house and destroyed it completely, both its timbers and its stones. It does not necessarily mean the actual housing structure, but it could be the organization. And I have seen it happen many times, and I'm sure I will see more of it. This is not only the church. This also applies to us, the individual Christian, like those who goes to this church and complains and goes to that church and starts a fight and ends up having no place to go. I know some people like that. Such attitude will destroy one's faith. So going back to 1 Timothy 1 verse 11, that confirms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God which he entrusted to me. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he consider me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Here the Japanese Bible translation says, the Lord appointed me to his service and he consider me trustworthy. But the English Bible says, the Lord consider him trustworthy first, then appointed him to his service. What I'm saying here is that Paul was first seen by God to be trustworthy. Then God appointed him for the work. So the order is important. Same thing with the human society. First, we might get hired as a part-time, but when you gain the employer's trust, you might then become a full-time employee. Like the employer is watching you, God is also watching us too. I used to work for a small company and I was sitting at a desk where I could be closely watched by the president. So if I was dazing off, he could see me, and that was very uncomfortable. But of course, to be trusted by our employer is an honorable thing. But to be trusted by God is extremely honorable. And please do not take the Bible words lightly. As Paul was entrusted with God's work, I believe we all have been entrusted by God to do something in our lives. But in order for us to clearly hear what the commission would be, we first have to be trustworthy. For some of you, they might This might be an earful, but Christian walk is not roundabout, but this is very specific and clear. I have been a Christian for a long time, and I always thought I was an alright Christian since I used to go to a lukewarm church. I went to a summer camp there with them, and I suggested to have a morning prayer, but no one showed up. But over the years, as I pursued God and continued to study the Word, after some years, I experienced the transition like Jeremiah. After I started walking obediently as a disciple, that's when I started receiving more revelations and understandings. So the order of this sentence is very important. First, we have to be considered as trustworthy by God. The work will then be commissioned to you. But many Christians think the order does not really matter. Many want to do the work to be in the spotlight and to gain recognition by others. But unless you prove yourself to be trustworthy by God, the work will not come from Him. Of course, you could work on your own without any revelation from the Lord, but if you do so, it would only bring much confusion and shame to your ministry. But if you are commissioned by God, your work will remain, including the work you do for the church. From verse 15, here is the trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Here Paul is saying that he was a sinner, but he did not know what he was doing, so he received the Christ's mercy. In other words, if you go against God's will, fully knowing the law, the consequences worse. Just like the traffic law, if you continue to violate, your fine will increase, and you will even lose points, which is a very unpleasant experience. And then you will be called up to go to a certain office, and if you don't show up, the consequence is severe. So I showed up only to see my schoolmate there from my junior high. But anyway, the Bible says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. He came to save the sinners so that he could sanctify us and cleanse us. Like, we need doctors when we are sick. I had a toothache during the New Year holiday season and everyone was closed. And when I found one dentist in my neighborhood, though he was closed, when I told him that I was in pain, he treated me and I was so relieved. Of course, I should not even compare the Christ with the dentist, but as the dentist saved me from the toothache, Christ came to save the sinners. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Here, the way Christ led Paul to salvation was by displaying God's immense patience. As you know, Paul was a persecutor of Christians, arresting them in many places, and it was a sin committed against the Lord himself, because Jesus said to Paul, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" But Jesus showed patience in a way that led Paul to salvation. But please remember that patience was the way Jesus used to lead Paul, so we also have to be patient to bring other people to the Lord. So I patiently pray for people, including those who do not come to our church, so one day their eyes will be opened to see the truth. Paul says in the Bible to imitate him, for he was the model for others to follow. When you do exercise, you always have an instructor demonstrating in front of you. you stretch this way and that way, imitating the person. And even if you don't know the whole movement, if you follow the instructor, you can do the whole exercise properly. And Paul was set by God to be a model for us to follow so we can obtain an eternal life. The Bible does not say that you have an eternal life simply by accepting Christ, but disregarding other elements of Christian walk and continue to live in whatever the way you want. For example, if you want to win a gold medal in sports, you study the winner and imitate him. Same thing with the Christian life. If you want to obtain the eternal life, you have to imitate the winner. In 1964, I was in junior high. There were Olympics in Tokyo, and the female volleyball team was called the Oriental Witches, and they were led by an amazing volleyball player, and she recently passed away. And after her team's victory, she became a model for other female volleyball players to follow. And Japanese volleyball team has become very strong since then. So the model is for us to follow. And if you don't follow it, you might not obtain the eternal life. Just like it is impossible to become a golden medalist without studying other winners. On top of that, Jesus also said the path to salvation is narrow and the only few will find it. And wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. So obviously, it is a very difficult walk, but if we follow Paul's model, we are safe. But if we walk in a way that is very different from Paul, we might end up in a very different place. So how did Paul live? Paul prayed for those who persecute him, and he was also very obedient to the work commissioned by the Lord. So I myself am doing my very best by being obedient to the Lord and the work of the Lord. So let us follow the model as well, since it is clearly stated in the Bible. The verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the Japanese translation, it says, only God. But King James Version says, only wise God. I don't know why the word wise was dropped. In this world, there are many wise people, whether claimed by self or others. Some have very high IQs and some are called great thinkers or become Nobel Prize winners. But the Bible says only God is wise, not the people. When I was young, there were times that I would not understand and get upset over some injustices or sufferings. But now I look back, I see how and why certain things happened. Our wisdom and understanding is so limited, and we can only think about the small frame of time. And when the time has gone by, your wisdom becomes irrelevant. But God's wisdom is infinite. So if we follow God, we will face some situations that seems to be injustice, like Job. But things turn out to be great in the end. For example, in my experience, I had a chance to meet a publisher who was interested in publishing my book. He urged me to send him the script, so I wrote the script and sent it to him. It turned out that the book did not come out from him, but this whole effort opened up a whole new way for us to actually publish the book. We've learned that it would be impossible for a normal publisher to publish a book on this subject. They would usually cut and edit some parts, so we figured that if we want to be obedient to the messages given to us, the best way was to self-publish it. And that's what we have been working on in the past few years. So I do think this was the wisdom of God, which surpasses our wisdom. The verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Your prophecy is important. Not sure if the prophecies for Timothy was done by Paul or by someone else, but it should be part of our life to be obedient to the Lord. The verse 19. Having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Just like these verses says, even if we live as a Christian, not everyone would obtain the eternal life. If we throw away our conscience, we will get the deserving reproach. Here Paul says he delivered the individuals to Satan, and once delivered to him, Satan would not let you go. So once you become a Christian, do not think you're safe to commit sins, then you will have a shipwreck in faith and will be delivered to Satan. For each of us are responsible for our own walk in Christ, even after you become a Christian. So Christian life might all start from the same place, but we all have a different walk, and only some will arrive to the eternal life. And some end up in destruction. That's why we come to church. So if the church is not helping you to be on the right path for eternal life, you're wasting your time. So please make sure that you come here and obtain the eternal life.